Rampart, the original tower defense game on Amigos, everything Amiga. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Amigos. I'm John.
And I'm Aaron.
And today, Aaron, we're talking about Rampart.
Yeah.
Rampart.
Yeah. Why do you say that? Rampart. Why are you saying that?
I always wonder about etymology.
Okay, you know, well, I don't know what that
the
is.
The study of words.
Is that something to do with feet?
No.
Oh, okay.
Etymology is how words got their meaning.
Okay.
And I'm thinking about, you know, ramparts. Did they get their names because you used to ram a part of your body up against them to get them to fall down? And if so, what part?
My guess would be they use an actual ram.
Ooh.
And then what part did they ram the ram into?
That way it becomes a chicken and egg situation.
You ever seen those rams, like, out in the wild?
Like
the
a Dodge horns, ram?
And no, I mean, like, the goat-looking rams.
Oh, yeah.
Satan rams, mm-hmm. You know? Where they run at each other, and they whack, and yeah. It makes that noise, clack!
Uh-huh.
You know, and then that's how they determine who the king dong of rams is, right?
Right.
So you can imagine taking one of those in, like, the groin.
Mm-hmm.
One of those suckers gets up, like, a 10-yard run and, mm-hmm. you know, gives you the business.
Right.
So you can... Now, how would they fare against a rampart, like a cement one or whatever, stone or wood?
Uncertain.
Probably not that good. But if you ram dudes... I wonder if that ram's ever been used in combat. This is the first time I've thought about that.
Well, here's the thing.
Can you train a ram, you think?
I really feel like if you swung a ram...
Swung him?
Yeah.
How?
By the legs. It becomes a mace. It's like a living mace. And what's cooler than that?
The thing is, see, by your logic, the ram just goes limp as you swing him around. I don't see a ram doing that. I'm not.
It's true. You'd have to have a trained ram.
What if a giant walked up to you and said, "Come here, boat," and grabbed you by the legs? Would you go limp, or would you be like, "Ah!"
You know how they have those goats that faint when they get scared?
Yeah, those are great.
I'm wondering if there's the same situation with a ram.
Well, I mean, aren't rams and goats practically the same?
I always feel like is a ram just a boy goat?
No, I think a ram's a whole different deal.
Really?
Yeah, goats don't have the horn. Like, rams have those.
But goats have horns.
No, but not like rams have the cool, like, the, you know, the football helmet style horns. A big
yeah,
gimmick.
Like the Los Angeles
yeah,
Rams.
Yeah, like normal rams just have a little, not that impressive.
So
like
you
farm
think
rams.
You think a ram is totally different than a goat?
Yeah.
Now, what about, what do you call a boy sheep? Is that a ram?
Yeah, maybe. I think it is. But, I mean, I think that's, like, a different type. Like, there's, like, that's saying, like, all dogs are the same. Well, you got
right.
tons of different, like, breeds or
right.
whatever.
So you think the kind of ram, like the L.A. Rams, that's its own, like, they call that,
you
it's
know,
a
like
special
a,
kind
like
of ram.
Like a mountain ram
mountain
or something
ram.
Like that. That's a special ram, I think.
Okay.
And those things can climb, too.
So you're saying that, like, a mountain goat and a ram, like a boy mountain goat is essentially a ram.
Maybe. All I know is if I'm, like, mountain climbing, this would be the word. Like, you're mountain climbing, right? And you get to the top of the peak.
Ram in the groin.
You're up there celebrating. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, someone swings a ram at your groin. And then down you go. For once, the thing went limp. The only time. And you took it.
Now, aside from this game in the national anthem,
yeah.
Have you ever heard the word rampart before?
Well, yeah, because I D&D. And also,
you're
like,
always talking about
fables,
ramparts.
Fairy tales. I think
are there a lot of ramparts and fables?
Well, I mean, like,
I don't think Aesop was talking about
what's
ramparts.
What's the gimmick? Remember the chick that had the long hair?
Rapunzel?
Rapunzel. Isn't she, like, in a sort of like a rampart?
I think she's in a tower.
It can be both, right? Isn't it the same thing? Like, when you build stuff in the game, aren't you basically building, like, those walls with a gimmick on it?
Maybe. You know? Maybe that's the DLC, the Rapunzel DLC.
Man, you know what I would do to have hair that was so long and voluptuous that a sucker could climb it?
What would you do? How would you style it?
Very similar to her. Like, I'd make it like a rope.
Mm-hmm.
There's this wrestler that used their hair like a whip. You know, that'd be kind of cool.
You know, I was watching Botchamania the other day.
Yeah.
I'm sure you saw this clip, too, where the chick botches and she has to throw the other chick her hair because yeah. she missed it the first time.
Yeah, that's the chick.
Yeah.
But it'd be, I mean, I was at this hick gas station today,
mm-hmm.
you know, and there was this dude there with a dumb haircut. It's one of those deals where it's like his hey, got hair up here, and then on the back, he's got this little, like, tiny little ponytail that sticks out like that. It's real dumb
That's
looking.
Dumb. Yeah.
And I was looking at this guy, and he looked over at me. I'm sure he saw me, like, checking out his head, you know, and I was thinking to myself, you wasted your gift, my friend. Because it looks like you could nest in something.
Are you talking
like
about like a man bun?
Well, I don't know what you'd call this. This looked like, you ever see the Jesus fish? That's what it reminded me of. Yeah.
Is that a thing?
You know, like, you ever see that thing you put on the back of a car?
Oh, I thought you meant like an actual creature.
Turn that thing sideways and just stick it on there and make it a hair. That's what it looked like.
That's weird.
It's not good.
Yeah. you know what else isn't good, Aaron?
I do. Let's get at it, Boat.
Ramparts.
Yeah, that was a mighty theme.
Yes. Course,
the theme doesn't really start at the beginning of the game. You sort of have to dig for it, but it's in there. There's some themage in there. You know, had you played this one ever on anything before this week?
I'm sure that at some point in my life I'd played Rampart, but it made so little impression on me that I carried no memory of it to this week.
The only place I ever saw this boater was they had at the old Kentucky Arcade. They had the cabinet for this. And I used to see suckers. I've got a rule about arcades, right? And here's my rule. If I see a game and it looks even remotely complex, I'm out. I call it the defender rule. Because when you're playing in the arcade, you're using hard cash.
Yeah.
Coin.
Yeah.
You know, you bite it. And I'm not paying money to something that involves math or something like it looks anything that has too many controls or is weird, I'm out. And so Rampart, hard pass. I wasn't checking that out. So this is the first week I've never actually played this game. Boy, was I surprised as to what this game was. Before we get into this on the Amiga side, Boat, we had a look at the arcade side of this one as well, didn't
we? Yeah. So, you know, I want to take you back, Aaron.
Take me way back, Boat.
To 1990.
Okay, that's a year after I graduated high school.
That's right. You were living large at Marshall.
Well, everything I do is large, unfortunately.
You were playing bad dudes in the student center.
And Tetris. You're right. My God, you got a good memory about my life.
And speaking of Tetris, Atari was like, you know what? This is a pretty good thing we got going on here with this Atari. You know, they had the Tengen brand that they put it out with on the NES. And they're like, what if we took these Tetris blocks and we made some walls, and we made a game where you had to shoot down the walls.
Yeah.
And lo, it came to pass. The Rampart was born.
Yeah.
Rampart, I would call Rampart a combination shoot 'em up strategy puzzle game, I think. Very light on the strategy. More of a shoot 'em up puzzle game. This thing was programmed by John Salwitz. Okay.
Rough name.
John Salwitz was the programmer responsible for Paperboy and 720.
Yeah.
So nice pedigree there.
Oh, yeah. Those are, wow. Weird.
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't see that coming. All right.
The art was done by Dave Ralston.
Yeah.
Dave Ralston drew all the graphics for Paperboy. And after this, he went on to pen the perennial ARG favorite Michael Jordan, Chaos in the Windy City.
Ooh, not the worst.
Yeah.
Not the worst.
Yeah.
You know, after Paperboy, he must have said, you know, let's take it easy. We don't need to draw that much crap. And lo, it also came to pass.
Music was done by Don Dignetke. He did the music for Tubin' and Hard Drivin'.
I love Tubin's music. It's great. And Hard Drivin' does have the cool death theme. Bum, 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 bum.
I thought you were going to go into the Blues Brothers theme.
No, when you die, it plays this little tune. It's the death tune.
Really? Like,
yeah. Go die sometime. Try it.
I'll try it. And finally, Brad Fuller did the sound effects on this. He did the sound effects also for Stun Runner, one of our favorites.
It's got good sound.
And another perennial classic, Rugrats Go Wild for the PC.
Listen, they can't all be winners, can they, Boat?
So, like I said, you know, Atari, they recognized the value of the multiplayer cabinet.
Yeah.
Why? Money.
The finger thing means the cash.
That's right. So they were like, Gauntlet. It had four players, three players. Was it three or four? I can't remember.
Four.
Four.
Four
okay.
Big players, yeah.
And they were like, man, what if we do three players? Okay. There's not a lot of three player arcade games out there. Can you think of any three player arcade games?
Oh, boy. I think Mercs. I think Mercs was a three player game. That one comes to mind just because we owned it at one point. Oh, boy. I'm sure there are more.
You're leaving out one of your all-time favorite games of all
one
the time.
One of my all-time favorite games is a three-player game. What is it?
Rampage.
Oh, yeah. That is another one. That is. I like Rampage World Tour. It's not my favorite. But, yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
The only other ones I can find, there's Beastbusters. Have you ever? Are you familiar with Beastbusters?
Okay.
This was the first three-player light gun game.
Okay.
And Aliens versus Predator was the other one. The other big one.
That's
I could
a great
find.
Game.
So
too.
They're not impossible rare.
Was Mercs on your list?
Mercs was not on my list, but I'm not saying that. This is not an exhaustive list. These were just.
You didn't really go dig deep on this.
I will look through the list and I picked out games that I thought were interesting. So they're like, okay, we're going to put this thing out. We're going to have the first ever three-player simultaneous ball spinny game, trackball game. So you got the original cab on this had three trackballs and three buttons set up. And apparently, it didn't really do that great because they re-released the game in 1991 in a normal JAMA configuration, which I think is what the arcade operators wanted at the time. They wanted JAMA games so you could swap them out easily. So they put it out in a normal conversion kit with two joysticks and a two-player version.
Very good.
So that is a little background on, and I just want to add before we get out of here, I really think the Rampart I would classify as one of the last true classic Atari games.
Right, yeah.
Do you have one that comes later?
No, I hadn't thought about it.
Because after this, what do you got? You got Pit Fighter.
Yeah.
And then you got a lot of shooting games, racing games, and fighting games.
Yeah.
This is pretty much the end of the line as far as like a game that looks like a classic arcade machine.
Yeah, and it is. It's an unusual game for the arcade. There's no doubt about that. It's an unusual game for the arcade for sure. Well, with all that said, Boat, and you've never played this in the arcade, did you actually try out the arcade game this week?
I did not. I did not try it out. I watched some Let's Play videos of it, but I could not. There was not a core for this on the Mister, so I did not play it.
I did try it.
Okay, well, you can tell us about it. And I tried a bunch of other versions.
I did, too.
Just not this one.
And I will report that the arcade version of this is I found easier to control, and easier to play. And also, it gave you way more time to do the Tetris-y parts of the game, which we'll get into that in a moment on the Amiga. But yes, I found the arcade version better looking, better playing, and just way better. So there you go. So now, with all that said, let's move into the Amiga version of this. This was released in 1992. Now, this one's interesting. This is copywritten by Tengen, a.k.a. Atari. But this was actually ported over by the, and I didn't know about this until I read it. Domark has an in-house development team called the Kremlin. Mm. So the Kremlin was responsible for porting this over. And the Kremlin did more than a few games on the Amiga. They did NAM 1965 to 75, Campos Rugby RBI 2, Stun Runner, Super Space Invaders, which is quite good, Thunder Jaws. Remember Thunder Jaws? So they did some stuff on here, and some of it was even okay. This is, of course, ECS OCS. This release boat for £25, 99p, back when it came out. So you weren't getting the cheap number on this one. This got a ton of conversions. We tried some of these, but I'll just go over them. The Lynx, the ST, the C64. All the Game Boys, the NES, Super Nintendo, a pretty competent DOS version of what I read. I haven't tried it. And the Master System and the Genesis also got versions of this. So it got spread around. Atari spread their stuff everywhere. You know, whether you liked it or not, it's coming. You know, that's their philosophy. And I don't know if it worked or not. I guess it did. So Rampart is an interesting, strange, oddball of a game. The game is separated in sort of different phases, I guess would be the way it would work. The first thing, now, we're going to talk about the one-player version first, and then we'll talk about multiplayer. In the one-player version, it starts off, you lets you pick your skill level. You can start at basic or, like, advanced. And the only, if you pick advanced, you get some bonus points, basically. And, of course, you go to more advanced stage. I always start at basic. Then it presents you with, like, an island and some forts. You can choose any from like I think five forts to start off with. When you choose,
yeah, and you've always got basically picture in your mind. You've got a coastline, okay, and the land on the beach. You've got these different forts. So you're no matter what fort you choose, you're going to be relatively near the coast,
right? So once you pick your fort, in the initial phase, the walls of the fort are there for you. And it varied depending on which fort you pick. Sometimes that you have more room inside the fort, and sometimes you have less. And inside your fort, in the middle of it, it's like you're sort of like your citadel with a flag on mm-hmm. it. Right, that's your main area. Once this phase is completed, you go to the next phase, which is to place your cannons in the fort. And so you start off with a set number of cannons, usually like two or three, and you place them in empty spots. They take up a certain amount of space, so you have to be careful where you place them. If you place them like an idiot, you won't get as many cannons because you were dumb. All right. Once you do the cannon phase, the next phase is the attack phase. Now, this is where it gets a little weird. And by the way, I should mention that on the Amiga, the control setup on this is goofy. You've got two control options, and you can play either one of these in one-player mode, and in two-player mode, it doesn't give you a choice. If you want to play with in one-player mode, you've got your choice of the joystick or the mouse. The mouse would seem like the better option, but we will get to that in a moment. But once you've gotten to the point where you go into the attack mode, you will see ships coming off the coastline, and they're there to shoot you with their cannons. And you've got a little cursor, and your job is to move the cursor. It's actually a big cursor. Is to move the cursor over the ships and shoot the cannons off and try to sink the ships. Your goal is to sink them before they jack up the walls of your fort. So you want to sink them all right away, but often that's not a possibility. And as you go in the subsequent rounds, you'll have more cannons, presumably, to shoot more cannonballs to get them dead quicker. So once that round is over, you'll then assess the damage to your fort, okay? So then you get into another section of the game. This is the section you mentioned earlier, the Tetris-y section. Your fort will have broken pieces, missing pieces in it. Sometimes the corners broke, sometimes the sides broke out. Sometimes it'll just be little chunks missing. Your job is to fill those chunks with whatever Tetris piece is like comes up. And it'll come up as you drop them, another one comes up. You can use the right mouse button to spin that piece to put it where you want. If you're playing with the joystick, you hold the joystick button down and you tap the joystick and it'll spin the piece. And then once you get the piece to the position you want it to do it, you let go of the joystick button and you place it. This seems like, it sounds like this isn't that tough. In actuality, it's the hardest thing you've ever done. And there are several reasons. And I'm going to get you to jump in here in a second on this. But I want to go ahead and mention it. This game should be an Amiga. This should be a slam dunk. The Amiga's got a mouse. It's got mouse buttons. The arcade used trackballs. So it's a natural that a mouse should do a great job placing these bricks. But the Amiga version is hampered by two huge flaws that make it suck. Flaw one, the mouse control is crap. And the joystick control is crap too. The mouse cursor is logy. It's slow. It's not accurate. It sucks. Secondly, you get, even on the most basic level, you get very little time to actually place your building blocks. If you play any other version of this, and Bode will back me up on this in a second, every other version gives you a ton more time, probably double the amount of time. Because part of the game is, it's not just mending your castle. There are other citadels around you. And if you've got extra time, you can build pieces around those. And when you do that, you'll get more cannon. You've got more area so that you've got less likely to get all of it shot up. It's a bedrock of the game. It's part of it. And you will almost never be able to do that in this game because you have so little time. Your thoughts on your opening volley here on this game, Bode?
Well, I mirror your opinions almost exactly.
I knew you would because what are you going to do?
This game should have been an Amiga all-time classic arcade port.
Yeah.
Okay? But I think, of course, you know, before we just kill this game on its biggest fault, which is the fact that you're right, you get not enough time to repair and or expand your territory when you're playing this game. We have to discuss the fact that even if we take this all the way back to the arcade game, is the one-player version of this game fun? What do you think, Aaron?
I played most of the gameplay I did this week, aside from the Amiga, was on the Master System and, amazingly, the Super Nintendo, okay? I had fun. Like, this game, at first, I played on the Amiga. I was like, this sucks. But then I tried on other stuff. I did have fun in one-player mode, until I got frustrated, because I find the piece placement part irritating. But if you have the time to do it and you can expand, then it becomes more fun. So I would say it's okay.
Well, here's the thing. Okay, in the one-player version of the game, like you talked about, the entire point of the game is to sink the enemy ships and expand your territory as much as you can.
Yeah.
In the arcade game and in several of the home ports, you also can earn bonus points by expanding over flashing blocks, which give you more bonus points. Okay? However, I find that this game is lacking in replay value as a one-player game because there is very little strategy involved in this game. As far as I can tell, and I played this game all week, I'm not saying I'm the world's biggest Rampart expert, but I think I understand what's going on. In the one-player game, especially, there is absolutely no strategy involved in where you place your cannons. The only part where there is strategy involved is if you screw up and you don't place them properly, that you can't fit them all in there. But it's not like, where in my inner court am I going to place this cannon? Is it going to make it far enough? Or isn't there's none of that.
Yeah.
Because all of your cannons have infinite range.
Yeah.
Okay? So there's no strategy involved in the cannons. There's no strategy in shooting the ships other than some of the ships move, so you have to chase the ships a little bit with your shot, and some of the ships stand still. You don't chase the ships with your shot.
Right.
The strategy in expanding your empire is how fast can you place the walls down before the next round starts to encircle the next thing. It's not a question of which one of these should I encircle. The answer is always the one that's closest to me. So you're not making any strategic choice there either. This game essentially is rebuild your fortifications, expand your territory so you can get even more cannons, so you can blow even more ships up to get a higher score. It's extremely, extremely simplistic for the veneer of complexity that it has.
Yeah, and it's funny. I mentioned that I avoided all complex arcade games, like the plague. If I had actually looked at this for like 2 seconds, I'd be like, oh, all right, I'm going to give this a whirl. Because it looks way more complicated than it is. You're right, you're dead on. You know, I will say the only thing, placements of the cannons, you're right, aside from where you put them, the only other thing that gives that round any sort of, you know, importance is the fact that also in the Amiga version, you've got very little time to place your cannons. So if you don't place them real quick, you'll just won't get it placed, and you'll lose cannons. No other version, I never had any trouble placing my cannons on any other version.
You know, I feel like so many times with Domark, they found, and this is not alone to them, this is a Euro trend. It's like any time where they sense the players might be having fun, they'd be like, ha, 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 we're shutting that down. You know, it's like there is no reason in the world why you shouldn't give the player enough time to at least rebuild their original fort. I can understand curtailing the time so you can't do all the expansion that you want to do.
Right.
But if you don't give the player the time to at least rebuild their own fort, all of the strategic movements that you do where you're trying to pick the pieces so you can expand out, because there is strategy in that. The strategy comes in using the pieces that you're given to plug the holes in the most efficient way.
Yeah.
But in this game, they give you just enough time to slap pieces down. You think about it, none. And then when you're expanding, you're just slapping pieces down. They missed it. The Kremlin missed that part of the game, or they're just like, man, we don't want to make this game too easy so it'll review poorly, so we're going to make it, we're going to crank the time up.
Well, you know, at first I thought to myself, maybe this is a PAL NTSC thing, right? Which is not.
It's not. That was my first thing, too, but you'll notice that the rest of the game plays at a normal
right.
speed.
Yeah, but you never know. And so that's why I went to try other versions, because I thought to myself, why would anyone play this? My guess is that Domark's internal development team just missed the mark on this. They missed the Domark. Because here's the thing about this game, okay? It was not what I would call a looker in the arcade, and it had okay sound, okay music. It's not, I mean, it's nowhere near, it's not in the same ballpark as like something like tubing, for example. We both love tubing, right? So when it came home, you would think to yourself, well, they should be able to make this pretty much arcade perfect. And really, none of the versions were that great. I mean, looking.
Well, here's the thing.
You know.
Here's the thing. Props to Domark, because they made the best looking version of Rampart yeah. there is. All the other ports, including the SNES port, look like butt compared to the
SNES
the Amiga
port. Was they were abrasively ugly.
Yeah,
and even it looked like it didn't look much different than
well,
the Master
and
System.
Do you know the reason why they made it look like that?
Is it a Tengen thing?
No, it's because they used the exact same sprites for Super Rampart. Did you, when you played the Super Nintendo version, did you play Super Rampart?
I didn't play Super.
Okay, so the Super Nintendo version is basically two games in one. Mm. You've got regular Rampart, and of course, because it's on the Super Nintendo, you've got Super Rampart.
Is this a separate game, or it's all one
it's
game?
It's all in one card.
Oh, I see. Okay. Can you explain? Just
Super
fun?
Rampart uses the Mode 7 chip, and it slants the play field down, so it looks like you're hovering above the wastes. And you are moving the entire map around as you move. Okay, it's okay. It's a neat novelty. There's real collision detection issues with the ships. I don't know if you can play Super Rampart in two-player mode. I honestly have no idea. But it's a gimmick. It's a gimmick. But I'm convinced they drew the sprites in the way that they did because in Super Rampart mode they use the same sprites. They just integrate the Mode 7.
I noticed
chip.
That they have a Mode 7 zoom in the regular version of Rampart.
Yeah,
it's
they
pointless.
Right. It's yeah. a Mode 7 by and large gimmick.
Listen, people. I looked and the Super Nintendo version is one of the more ballyhooed ones, and it's no great shape.
No.
If the arcade version is the one to play,
and frankly. Here's and so we move on to the question that is on all of our minds: is this a good game? Just straight up, is Rampart a good game?
I'm going to say yes with a but, because the two player version of this, in which we haven't really gotten into that, but in the two player version of this. You actually are going. You play against other players, castles, and it looks fun. I watched a big playthrough of some guys playing the arcade version. That looks great. That looks fun. That looks like it'd be more fun. It's a cross between like I don't know, Warlords, Tetris, and Combat or something. That's okay. But as a single player game, is it fun? It's not the most fun I've ever had. It's okay. You know, and the Amiga version. I'm just gonna say it. No.
Now, let me ask you a question. Would you have rather Atari program this game as a two-player or as the one-player mode, just you playing against the computer in another set of castles?
That would have been okay. You know, and they really, let's face facts, they got rid of a player, so you've only got, there's no three-player. I don't think, were there any of the home versions have three players?
No.
So they, right there, you instantly lose that. That's a fun angle. And then, the problem is the Amiga, and no matter what you do, if you don't get the controls right, you blew it. And this isn't one of those games where the controls are supposed to be part of the game. The controls are supposed to work great. You're supposed to use your mind. They suck. The controls and the timer make this unplayable. This is the one I would not... I played four versions. I played Super Nintendo, Arcade, Master System, and this one, and this is the worst of those four. And keep in mind that the Master System and the Super Nintendo use controllers. They don't even use a mouse.
Well, you got to remember that this game, in most of its versions in the arcade, was also joystick.
Well, the one they had at the arcade I was at, and the one I watched the guys playing was a triple trackball. This is a trackball game. It should be a trackball game. It shouldn't use a joystick. You should use a trackball. And that's why the Amiga and the ST should have kicked buttons. I am interested to wonder how the ST version fared, because it's Atari's machine. Maybe they actually put a little more effort into that one.
My guess is that they contracted it out to Domark.
I don't know. I'm afraid to look, I'll be honest with you. But yeah, the multiplayer looks like a lot more fun. You actually, in the arcade, you get a couple options in the multiplayer. They all look good. I know this, I'm pretty sure I read that some people were playing this on Amiga Live.
Mm-hmm.
So there may be some fun to be had. If there was something to affect the length of time you had to play, with that might make it more fun. But the mouse control is so crappy. I don't know. And you know as well as I do, when you're trying to lay those Tetris pieces in, you need precision. Mm-hmm. You just have to. And you're in such a hurry. And really, the two mouse button thing, I mean, it's okay. But, I mean, I don't know what I want there. I guess that would work okay if the control was good. So no, I thought this was a not that good boat. And I wasn't the only one, by the way. I looked at the reviews. By the way, I found a new place to get reviews. They actually have a review score on Hall of Light now, the Lore score, and it's a 68% on the old Lore. Mm. Lemon has this at a 7.9, so I was surprised, actually, that Lemon's score was high. And when I read some of the reviews on Lemon, they were quite positive about this, and I was really surprised. That's what made me go back and try other ways of playing it. The magazines, on the other hand, were very much in line with what we said. Amiga Action gave this a 70, Amiga Format 75, Amiga Joker 72, Amiga Power 66, CU Amiga 61, and the one 68. And I looked at a bunch of these reviews to see what they were complaining about. It's funny. Some of the reviews mentioned that it's a Logi game. So some of them mentioned that it had been out on other machines for years before we got it. A couple mentioned that the Super Nintendo was way better and had better modes. But most of them just mentioned, like, eh, it's okay. It's simple. Eh. Mm-hmm. And that was really, that they thought it was not that great. It was like, eh.
Yeah.
You know, so the cumulative score, 69%. Well,
it's such a good thing that the Amiga offers such complex games since the console games were so simple. That's what Doug says, at least.
Is Doug in here? Listen, the console games, sometimes even the consoles don't get it right. And this is one that they got. It was better, but it's not like I'm running out of the door to go play this on the Super Nintendo. And the thing is, you'd forgive sort of goofiness on, like, say, the Master System or the Lynx. This came out in the Lynx. Okay. But, I mean, these upper-level systems, get it together. It was a Tengen did a crap job sticking this out there.
Well, and again, it's because Tengen didn't care about 16-bit computers. Atari didn't care even about their own 16-bit computer because it was a different company altogether.
No one,
Atari games, yeah, and the Warners were not getting in
no
the
one,
same boat.
Whenever the tale of Atari sung and lamented, no one mentions the crappy arcade ports. It was their crap that they were crapping out. Do a better job. You know, they were like, a lot of their stuff was just dopey,
but
not that great.
That's what happens when you have two different companies.
Yeah, one doesn't care what the other one's doing.
Yeah.
And look what happened. Now they're gone. We did get some Discord reviews, Boat, if you're interested. Our good buddy, the Bumface Poo Hands, mentions, Rampart is a unique concept and can be a lot of fun, especially in two-player mode. Unfortunately, it seems that every home version plays better than the Amiga version, which is let down by poor controls. Have to agree that the SNES version is the best home version I've played, but I've also tried the Master System version for a nice 8-bit port. So that sounds very similar to what I said. Pajaco ends us out this week. Didn't seem like two people are too fired up to try Rampart.
No.
Pajaco chimes in, a fun and simple arcade game, which should be a fairly easy win for any developer to port. Sadly, I found the Amiga version to be frustrating to play. It does a great job of sounding and looking like the arcade, but falls down like a wall hit by a cannonball by the clunky controls and fast countdown timers when building walls. Too often, I couldn't get that piece where I wanted it easily. It either went too far over or not far enough, and you don't have time to fill around. Almost all the other ports seemed to be much more forgiving, and almost all of them did a better job than the Amiga. I was able to try an arcade trackball my Mister with the Amiga Core, and even with improved precision, I still didn't have enough time to repair everything. All versions I tried, except for the Master System, include the original inset on showing the game around banner each time, and boy, does that get old fast. It slows down the game massively, and really, you should be able to skip it. I didn't mention that.
That's worth talking about, and that's present on every port as well.
A great game let down by easily fixable issues that ends up being a damp fuse. 6 out of 10. That reminds me of a couple things I wanted to mention here. One, in the Super Nintendo version, this speaks in some parts, and it mm-hmm. says, you know, ready, aim, fire, except mm-hmm. in the Amiga, in the Super Nintendo version, it says, ready, aim, fire. And when it says aim, you can take your reticle out and aim.
Mm-hmm.
Aim.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Mm-hmm. In the Amiga version, it just says, ready, fire. And you don't get the aim at all.
Nope.
Did you notice that?
You don't need the aim, Aaron.
But I mean, listen, does anyone know how cannons work? That's why they say ready, aim, fire. Why did they get rid of aim? How hard is it to let you in?
One thing we didn't talk about either are the cutscenes that appear in this game.
Oh, yes.
So there are two cutscenes that appear. There's if the blue player loses, they have to walk the plank.
Yeah.
And if the red player loses, your head gets chopped off.
Yeah.
In the Super Nintendo version, however, the guillotine malfunctions. It falls off to the side, and your guy looks up, and he kind of smiles. It's kind of cute.
I know in the Amiga version, I read one of the reviews that they got rid of the blood.
Mm.
But, I mean, is this a game where we need a bloody death?
No.
I mean, no.
Is this a game where we need those two cutscenes?
We do need to get... I can think of some people I'd like to see walk the plank. I will say that. That's all that.
I wanted to talk a little bit about the auctions, Aaron, of the arcade machine.
Oh, okay, yeah, please.
Because this shows you how the scene has progressed, okay? I got these off the killer list of video games, which is sort of the de facto source for a lot of this stuff.
Yeah.
So in 2016, Aaron, the auction results, this thing sold for an average of $575 for the cab, okay?
Yeah.
In 2018... there were a couple that sold for at an average of $2,242.
Holy moly.
In 2021, the auction average for a Rampart cabinet, $6,440.
Well, that shows you where this hobby went.
Mm-hmm.
Think about it. This game was not, I mean, maybe the rarity makes it really expensive, or maybe it was one of Atari's last.
There's not a lot of three-player trackball games out there.
That's a valid point. But also, I mean, listen, what would you pay to have this in your house?
I would pay for somebody to take it away.
I mean, if you saw one for $200.
I'd take it.
Right.
Yeah.
It'd be fun to have in the house.
Yeah, I think $200 would be the most I would pay for.
But I want to talk to the guy that just dropped $6,000 on this and be like, what is wrong with you?
Yeah.
Have you lost your mind? Speaking of money, I looked this up on eBay. This game apparently didn't sell that well because I didn't find any box copies for sale for the Amiga.
Wow.
I found one guy selling it with a disc for $20. I did look, just for fun, I was like, let me see what this is selling for other machines. So I saw someone selling the Lynx version for $18, and I saw a guy desperately hoping against hope to get $117 for the PC version of this boat. So I don't like his chances. Listen, I hate to say it again, we should make a category just the missed opportunity category, and this one is one that you had to not aim before you fired to miss, because this is almost unbotchable, and it literally has two things that make it go from like, pretty good to like, meh, no good, and they botched them both.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way she goes.
Are you a sketchy tech? Do you have the right tools for the job? Have there been incidents? Next time, don't try to fix it yourself. Send your broken Amiga to Retro Rewind. Get a full diagnostic, a reasonable estimate, and the peace of mind knowing that your machine is in the hands of real technicians with decades of experience and cutting-edge repair equipment. Save 10% off your repair with the promo code AMIGOS10. Thank you to RetroRewind.ca for supporting this episode.
Amiga News.
Robot had to crank up there.
So, Aaron, you know, we got a couple stories this week in the world of Amiga News. The first one is FSUAE. There's a new version, and with every new version, there comes a complete setup guide. So this comes to us on YouTube.
So now, every one of them has this? I didn't know that.
Well, I would think so.
Edgummit.
So, Aaron, you know, the thing is, in this day and age, you might ask yourself, in a world where Amiga Mini exists, Amiga Jimmy, what's the name of this thing called?
Amy Jimmy.
In a world where Amy Jimmy exists, in a world where you've got FSUAE, in a world where you've got that thing Dave uses, why would you still go back to FSUAE?
Well, I've got a good answer.
Okay.
Because all those other things are built on this.
Ah.
So, if it wasn't for this, they would never advance. So how's that for your answer?
So Just Jamie is going to take us through a lot of the new features. And, you know, FSUAE, just like a lot of these front ends now, they've got built-in front-end support. There's an arcade mode. And, of course, if you really want to get deep in the weeds with tweaking things on your Amiga, FSUAE is where you want to be.
Because
you can do everything through there.
This was before I gave up because I'm too dumb and just had someone do it all for me. This was my baby. And there was a time, you still have to do some stuff on the Amiga. You've got to go through some of these UAE and your format stuff for putting your computer. Mm-hmm. So it's funny how the emulation works hand in hand with the actual machine in a lot of ways.
Right.
It's very, very handy to have. So, yes, the fact that these guys have came this far with the simulation is dandy.
Mm-hmm. All right, Aaron, coming up next, we have an article that appeared in The Guardian past week with the controversial title, My Undying Love for the Painfully Cool Amiga. Painfully Uncool Amiga. Now, this was written by Dominic Diamond. Now, I know that this guy is sort of the King Dong over in England. I think he might have been one of the hosts on Games Master.
This guy's a King Dong?
Or something like that. Oh, I know that he writes a lot about video games. He was active in the scene in some way back in the
80s. One would wonder if he's ever used an Amiga before he wrote this article.
So his whole point is the Amiga didn't look as cool as the PlayStation.
Well, that's true.
Yeah. The PlayStation was also released almost a decade after the Amiga.
Man, so, he nailed it. Yeah. That's the point of his article.
Yeah, from what I can tell, that was the sole point. He also makes mention of the sexy Xbox 360 lines.
He's looking at the actual exterior.
Well, they call this clickbait, Aaron.
Yes, they do.
But you don't get Amiga articles written too often in The Guardian these days. Guardian, a major news outlet. So
do we want more like this, though?
Well, no, of course not. But I figured it was worth mentioning. Aaron, when you were using an Amiga back in the day, did your friends come over your computer using friends and just say, did they look at it with derision and say, how uncool?
No, they had tried to buy it from me. You went back in the heyday. Well, you got to remember, I got my first Amiga in like 88, 89. Mm-hmm. So over here, that ship had sailed, but there were so few of these around, so people were like, didn't know what they were.
Yeah, it was like having an MG.
You know, and so people would come over, and I'd be like, hey, check this out. They'd be like, good God, mm-hmm. The Chud comes to mind, mm-hmm. Among others. They couldn't believe it, you know, what this was. Now, I had been lucky, because I'd seen the Amiga early on, because I knew a guy down here that had one, you know, for music and stuff. So I was impressed with it back then. I was like, man, this looks like something I could get into. You know, it's hard when you come from a DOS background like I had to, like, climb into another OS and try to get comfortable. And I never really did with the Amiga, but it took a lot to get me to think, maybe I should try this other computer, because I knew DOS was going to end up being the King Dong. But, man, a lot of people, the Amiga's an impressive machine right across the board at face value with everything even. Like, mm-hmm. if you've got the DOS, like I had a Tandy TL, this thing would smoke the TL. I mean, smoke it. It crushed that thing, you know. It was just an awesome machine. Now, did they drop the ball, of course. But, yeah, saying this thing's uncool is something that an idiot would say, or someone looking for a clickbait, or both. So I don't know this guy, Dominic, but, you know, get out of the Amiga world, pal, until you get a clue. There was no computer cooler than Amiga, brother. It's number one with a bullet, unless you got one of those X68000,
yeah.
The coolest of the computers,
right.
in
That's
my opinion.
Right.
But yeah, this is doofus level stupidity.
And Aaron, our final story this week, we got another Kickstart update. You know, Kickstart every week, Ravi, he's the media master of dripping out the news. This thing, there is a brand new area upstairs that's going to be solely devoted to talks. This is where Mike Daly is going to be talking. This is where Stu Cambridge is going to be talking. This is where Tony Warner is going to be talking. All the big hits from the Amiga are going to be up here in the stage area. But in addition to that, they're not just going to be sitting up there with, like, you know, a rock band mic. Ravi has gone all out. He sent me his shopping cart for his audio list. There's going to be a professional sound system there with somebody working the sound in the back. And then behind the stage area, there's going to be a separate room with a game zone featuring board games made on the Amiga. Board games made on the Amiga, Aaron.
I didn't know such a thing existed, Boat.
I didn't either.
I'll have to look into this.
That's right. That's right. And then there's going to be also a designated chill-out area where when there's not going to be talks, you can just come up there, just grab yourself a drink, chill.
You know, I have no doubt that Ravi has cranked up the audio insanity. I could picture Cambridge up there. He's got the headphones. He's going to get into it. That's the way, in my mind, he's not just going to grab a rock band mic. He's going to be up there rapping, dancing. you know, the whole nine yards. You go, didn't you say that's your roommate?
Yeah, that's right. That's
so you,
right.
Maybe you guys can get a little, maybe you can get him a jumpsuit and you guys can put on a little show.
Maybe I'll ask him, can I borrow your jumpsuit? He can probably fit into that and then we'll wear it.
If he can, boy, Stu's in deep trouble.
So anyway, that's all the news for this week. Sort of a light Amiga News week.
We do want to touch on a couple quickies here.
Yeah, man.
So in case you missed it the last couple weeks, we have been running, for the last couple of months, we've been running Pod Jam, Amigo Aaron's Pod Jam, is both, so thoughtfully named it. And the Pod Jam is in the books. And I'll have to say, me and Bo, and when Bo put this thing together, I had low expectations. Oh, we haven't had a great track record of success with the community submission elements in the past. But I was stunned and amazed to get, we got a goodly amount of action here. I believe we've got, 10 different podcasts. Three of these, I did one, and Boat did one, and Brent did one for fun. But we've got seven.
Did Brent do one?
Yeah, Brent did one.
Oh, there it is.
We've got 10 big podcasts for your perusal. So the, I would call a Pod Jam. That's as many as some of these Game Jam gets.
Listen.
I'm calling it a success.
Absolutely.
Boat. And I want to thank all the people that submitted a podcast for the Pod Jam. By the way, you can listen to all these. We want you to listen to us. Give us your thoughts. Bo, what's the where can they go to hear this stuff? Aside from
if you just go to itch.io/jam/podjam2024, you can get to it that way. There's also, if you just go on Spotify and search for Amigo Aaron's Pod Jam 2024, there's a dedicated RSS feed where you can subscribe to it just like any other podcast.
That's a beauty, because aside from the fact that there's cash money on the line here, Boat.
Well, in form of gift card.
That's still money. That's still hard currency, sort of. There's gift cards on the line. You might also, if you send messages and goodwill and support, some of these podcasts might go on.
Right.
You may talk these guys into continuing their shows. So I've got to listen. Some of these came in real late, real late. Mm-hmm. So there's about four of these I haven't got to hear yet, so I can't wait to listen to them all. But the ones I've heard already, I've enjoyed all of them. I enjoyed yours as well, but quite good. So if you are so inclined, and if you're looking for something to listen to in the car, listen to when you're in bed or whatever, please go over and check these out. And if you're on our Discord, drop us some notes in Discord on what you thought of them. And to be supportive and give everyone a good pat on the back for a job well done.
That's right, Aaron.
I think that's dandy. And we also want to thank the judges we've got on this. Yeah. Tell them about our judges, Boo.
We got, speaking of Ravi Abbott, judge number one, Rob Flack O'Hara, judge number two, and Neil from RMC, judge number three. So they're going to listen to all these. We will be announcing the winner in the coming weeks.
I don't think you could get better judges for a contest like this. So please check that out. And then lastly, but we got to talk about it again, because we're in the home stretch, my friend. It's Boat Fest is coming up real soon. And we've been talking over the schedule. We should have something fairly concrete next week or so.
Yeah, next week, absolutely. We'll have the schedule up.
If you are interested in coming down, it's Friday, June 14th, 15th, 16th in Hurricane, scenic Hurricane, West Virginia, and it's going to be a happening. By the way, something I thought would be amusing, one of the guys coming down from northern West Virginia was like, where is this place? This community place, whatever it's called, community spot or whatever it's called. He's like, I can't find this thing. And he didn't realize that's the name of the building.
Right.
So if you're looking for where to go, it's called like the
community. It's called Social Event Space.
Social Event Space.
It's also, everything is on boatfest.info.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't understand why he wasn't able to click on this is another one of these old guys.
No, he's not.
Am I going to have to deal with another one of these fools?
He's younger than us, by the way.
This is, oh my gosh.
And here's the thing.
That's even worse.
Not everyone, some people like to go the direct route. They want to talk.
Is he looking at the yellow pages?
No, he talked to me. He said, listen, Amigo Aaron, of Pod Jam fame, what can I do to make sure I know where I'm going? I'm like, listen, we want you here. We got to have it.
I ignore those messages.
We're going to get you down here. Man, I talked to everybody because they're all fired up for Boat Fest. I'm fired up, too.
All right, Aaron, what do we got coming up next week on the show?
Good question, Boater. Let's find out. Oh, man, there it is. Turrican 3. How have we never played this?
I don't know. Its turn has finally come.
Now, does Turrican 3 have the incredible soundtrack that Turrican 2 had?
I don't know anything except there's a rope in Turrican 3.
You know, here's the thing. Turk and one came around. Mm-hmm. We sucked at that.
Yep.
Then here comes Turk and two, like from above, right? Mm-hmm. We sucked at that, mm-hmm. right? Now, Turk and three.
This is the one.
This could be the one where we'd stop sucking. Remember,
that's right.
We sucked at Shadow of the Beast one. Mm-hmm. We sucked at Shadow of the Beast two, sucked bad. But Shadow of the Beast two, we're okay.
Yeah,
that one.
You're
we
right.
That
you're
one
right.
too.
Yeah.
In fact, that's our favorite one of the
it
series.
It is. It is. So
this could be like that.
Yeah. All right. As always, if you're interested in supporting our show, patreon.com/amigospodcast. We will see you all next week. And until then, adios.
Amigos is made possible by contributions from listeners like you. Patreon supporters help choose the games we play, receive exclusive magnets, and get access to the Amigos Retro Gaming Discord server. Visit patreon.com/amigospodcast if you'd like to support the show and join our community.